Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Our undergrad studies in India do not, teach us all of these aspects. Even though we are slogging, we are, doing a lot. But we are not, taught to learn by ourselves. We are not taught to be left alone in a dark space to find the way,
This is episode number 3, part 1 of the Akyan podcast with Sushant Verma. Hey guys, welcome to the Akyan podcast. My name is Manish and I'm the host for the show. Each week, I interview India's leading architects and designers where they talk about their journey in architecture and design and also share invaluable knowledge and which will help you guys to learn something new in each episode that we release. Okay guys, I'm super excited for today's episode with Sushant Verma. Sushant is a design entrepreneur and an architect. He heads a firm called Rat Lab Studio, which is based out of Delhi. He is also an educator and he conducts workshops all across India. He has a passion for parametric and computational design, which we'll get to in depth on this episode. And over the years, he has given multiple talks all across the world and has also given TED Talks in India. He is also a recipient of various international awards, some of them being the Max Schindler Award from Vienna, and he was a finalist for the AIA Emerging Leaders Fellowship from Chicago. His work is widely published and exhibited in London, Los Angeles, New York, Tokyo, San Francisco. It's all over the place. In this episode, we discuss about Sushant's journey in architecture and the various obstacles he had to overcome and a lot more. So guys, make sure to share this episode with your friends by visiting akyan.com/03. Now, without further ado, let me welcome Sushant Verma. So that was one big list of achievements, which I'm sure not many architects could pull off. But how did you manage to do so much in such a short span of time, Sushant?
So Manish, firstly, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for bringing me on board for this podcast.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll come on to that part, the expanded and overwhelming bio that you read about myself. And I'm very closely associated with technology, I have to say that this is a fantastic platform that you've created to use technology as a new means of communication and reinvent this by sharing architectural stories and issues through this
Absolutely.
Podcast. So firstly, congratulations
Thanks
to you. How did I manage to get this far in this short span of time? I would say we're just at the beginning right now, to be honest. And I think I've always had this passion for using technology and, how technology can be used in other spectrums and fields. And this is something which really inspired me, quite early in my architectural days itself when I was studying architecture. And I would call myself very fortunate to be in the right place at the right time. Being mentored by some very interesting and informed people, right from the college days, I think I had a very good guide at that time.
Your thesis guide.
Who's a very good friend now, yes. Right before my thesis, I had my dissertation guide, Mr. Abhishek Bij, and he handles a practice called Design Plus Architects in Delhi. And at that time, he happened to be my thesis guide as well, along with Manit Rastogi, who was who handles Morphogenesis, which is a large architectural firm. So I think those were very two really big influences in my life at that time, especially Abhishek, who's a very dear friend now as well, who introduced me about computational design, parametric design, and he had I think just come back from the AA that time, and that really inspired me that Architectural Association is a place to be in, and that's where the journey started, and I wanted to kind of chase that dream. And started to work towards that. So I think after that, everything kind of fell in place, one after the other. And right things happened, wrong things also happened, which kind of taught me good lessons to learn and move forward. Obviously, we're talking about the good things. And of course, there were like parts which kind of teach you a lot, which are the failures in between. So I think it's been a good journey, and I'm very excited to be at the starting point, as I really believe.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a long way to go.
Oh, and ready to move on and then see how things kind of open up and phase out from this part onward,
Right. All right. So I just want a small background. So you always wanted to become an architect before, like as a kid, or was it something you came across? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's very surprising because... I wanted to be a doctor, which is quite fun.
Typical, yeah.
with what I wanted to do. But it was not very typical, actually, because it's not like my parents wanted me to be a doctor or something.
Right.
So I don't talk about this part much very often, but my father is also an architect.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he's not practicing architecture right now. For the last 20-25 years, he's into valuations, which is a completely different stream altogether. However, I would say I had the right genes to pursue architecture, and my mother has been a mathematics teacher, and she is really into arts. She does her own artworks and stuff as well. So I was very inclined towards creative disciplines in general, and I was inclined towards mathematics and numbers and computing. And I think all of this is coming together now, which is quite surprising and overwhelming as well.
Yeah, I think the years of experiences you have as a kid growing up, it comes towards the end where you reflect that in your designs and all that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I didn't want it to be an architect, to be honest. And in fact, I remember a very interesting story when I was going for my entrance exam for architecture, which I was kind of asked that you must give this exam because... you're not studying to be a doctor right now. You want to take a year off or something like that. And I didn't want to go and give an exam for architecture because I think my sister, 2 years elder to me, she's also an architect.
Right.
And she was studying architecture that time in first or second year, and I was asked to give an exam. And I said, no, I don't want to do architecture. My father is an architect. My sister is going to be an architect. No, I don't want that. So I don't want to give this exam.
Okay.
And I remember this very interesting story that my dad asked our driver to, take me to the entrance examination. And on the way, I convinced my driver that please tell my dad that there was a lot of traffic and we couldn't make it to the entrance right. examination. Because I wanted to really run away from that part. And he got convinced and... because there was actually a traffic jam that time in Delhi. And by the time I got off the car, another parent, walking by, told me, that, hey, you're here for the exam. So just walk, it's right here. Because a lot of students were stuck that time. And I was like, okay, fine. I mean,
yeah, you've come so far, you might as well give the exam, right?
Exactly. So I went there, I was like 30 minutes late to the exam, and I gave the exam, and it seemed pretty simple at that time, and I made it. I got a decent rank to enter Sushant School that
nice.
Time.
All right.
So
that was your introduction, to bachelor's,
yes.
right?
Yes, to architecture, right. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So how was it studying a bachelor's in Sushant School of Architecture? Do you see any difference now compared to when you were studying?
Oh, well, I think I had a fantastic experience at Sushant School. It didn't start as good as it ended, to be honest, because, so the biggest problem, I would advise to anyone, don't go to a college with which you are sharing your name.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Sushant. That was the biggest thing. So entering Sushant School with the name Sushant, and at a time when I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but yeah, ragging existed that time. So there was not much of a strictness. So I was, you know, the odd one out, you know, okay, you're in Sushant's school and your name is Sushant. So just, you know, come on the side. And now we're talking. So
I initially thought you were related to the college because the name is similar.
No, I was not. Then it would have been a definite choice. Then yeah, I want to be an architect.
Right.
So that was quite, you know, different experience. And to be honest, like it was all in good fun and all of that. So, but I mean, on a serious note, the college was kind of, I think, exposed me to the right people, exposed me to the right subjects. And I think I was in a very good environment, in a very creatively charged environment. We had a very good batch. Most of them are doing pretty well for themselves now in different parts of the world. And I think that was something that made a lot of difference. It allowed one to dream big. And I think that was something that in Sushant school that was prominent at that time at least. So I think I had a very good experience, let's say.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I mean...
So you graduated in 2010 and then you went to the AA, which is Architectural Association London.
Right.
So how was your experience studying in the most prestigious university in the world like?
Right. So I think, again, I have to give credits to Abhishek for that because, again, as he introduced me, he had just come back from DRL program, which is Design Research Lab. And I was very inclined towards that, you know, pursuing that. AA was like a dream, to be honest, at that time when I was in, I think, third year or something, when I got introduced to parametric design. It was called digital architecture that time, actually. You know, the whole term was in that time. Parametric was not as
prominent as now.
Yes, prominent as it is now, and we'll come to that part, which is quite interesting to see. But yeah, digital architecture was a thing, and I think the journey started when I wanted to go to the AA in third year. I started to kind of prepare myself. It was a bit too early or late, I don't know. But yeah, I think when I landed up at the AA. I didn't go immediately after SSA because I had 1 year in between. So at that time, I started a practice which nobody would have heard of. And it was called, and I can take this opportunity to talk about that a little
as
bit.
As a solo architect.
Yes, as a solo architect. So, I mean, it was like just like, you know, how kids do these days as well. You know, like when you're a student, you think you know a lot and you're ready to take on to the world. And so in my third year, I started to take up, you know, small little projects just by opportunities that I got to do some, you know, small little retail showrooms and stuff. So which I was doing, which kind of gave me a hands-on experience and made me understand a lot of things, allowed me to multitask. And I think the interesting part was, that experience in itself was about studying and working together. And that time I had started this. So the firm was called Studio 2121, 2121. Very, very weird name for a firm.
It is based on a year, 2121, is it?
Yes, exactly. So that's exactly how I was thinking that, you know, people are thinking of future. People are thinking of 10 year ahead, 20 year ahead. Let me think of, you know, more than a century ahead. What would be the future like?
Nice.
Well, it was just a dream. It was just a kid's dream, I would say, that time. So nothing really went off too well. But after I graduated from SSA, I started to take up a few projects, which didn't really shape up too well. And I think at that time, I had joined a firm, Mani Chawla Architects in Delhi, for a very short span of time. I couldn't stick around. I didn't have patience to be in one place that time. And then I went to a firm where I was doing my internship with, which also was a turning point in my life, which is MOFA, is a popular firm in Delhi now, Manifestation of Fluid Architecture. And so that kind of opened up a lot of avenues, really showed me how, you know, like what fluidity in design is, what curves are, what mathematics of curve is. And it kind of, so when I went back to that firm to work there after I had graduated as well, I worked on a few competitions and that was a very interesting experience. Then I went back, started to take up a few projects, applied to the AA that time, went to, got admission to AA and, you know, like a couple of other bigger universities around the globe. And so I was really in a fix, you know, like So the biggest option was I had was whether to go to SIARC in Los Angeles for my master's or to the AA in
Yeah,
London.
so why you chose A over Sayak?
So I chose AA that time, and I don't think I did a mistake or something. I think I made a fantastic choice. I was also confused if I should go for DRL program or MTech program. Both being on same lines in terms of using computation in its own way, but programmed and structured very, very differently. So I'd spoken to a lot of people that time, like who had done those programs and were doing well for themselves, and I chose to do AA because again another senior friend of mine, Utsav Gupta, who also has his own practice in Delhi. He had, I think, just come back after his M.Tech program, and I think I spoke to him. I really got inspired by that. So that's how AA happened, AA started, and it wasn't that smooth or easy or straightforward, to be honest, because my visa was about to get rejected. I mean, there was a lot of delays and stuff. So I ended up finally getting the UK visa, going to the AA. I was late by 1 week because, again, of my visa issues. But yeah, ended up at A, so
You were staying in the AA hostel, or was it like a day scholar thing, or?
so AA is like anybody who goes to the AA, gets really surprised and taken aback by looking at what AA is, because as you mentioned, one of the best schools and most prestigious universities in the world. It doesn't really have a big campus or anything. It's just in a building which sits in the central London at a very strategic and highly energetic place, close to the British Museum, close to the Oxford Street, Regent Street. However, it doesn't have really like a huge campus or anything, because it's an independent school of thoughts in a way, and that is how AA was started, like about
Yeah, and it's
pretty
taught by the
much
best
years back.
architects, right?
Yes, absolutely. And then there are fantastic people there, and and they don't spoon feed you, like as Indians we are so used to getting spoon fed with knowledge and information, and so that doesn't happen. It just gives you a right exposure and experience, and really it's up to you how what you make out of it. But AA did not have a does not have a hostel facility or something as well. So again, that's another teaching that you get. You land up in one of the most expensive cities in the world, and you have to find your place to stay, and you have to manage yourself. It's like restarting your life, I
So it's
would say.
building that entrepreneurship spirit within you, right? From Sushant school, where you started doing small projects, to going to AA and living on your own. And so I think that
Yeah.
whole process is building towards something what has become great now, right?
No, absolutely. I think these are like lessons which kind of teach you a lot in terms of like what you can make out of it in life later. But yeah, I mean, I remember like I booked a hostel or something for 10 or 12 days. I didn't have like anyone going and escorting me to London. And I think it was very funny. That was the first time I was going out of India as
Oh,
well.
right, is it?
And
Okay.
yeah, so that was my first international flight from Delhi to London. And I ended up there with like three large suitcases, twice as large as my size. And
Okay.
knew nothing, just ended up in a hostel and just in a new culture, new place, and I knew no one actually. I think most of the Indian students connected through Facebook and various groups before going to London. But the unfortunate part for me was because my visa did not arrive on time for 2 to 2.5 months, there was a delay. So when it arrived, I went there, I was late by a week. So most of the students had already grouped up, managed their accommodations, and started their new journey, academic journey and personal journey in London, where I was kind of left out in a way. Yes, yeah. And then lived in a hostel, understood, went to going to the class morning, didn't know how to cook as well, but had to manage stuff. And then at that time I met some very interesting people from the AA in different programs, who I managed to find a nice house with, and Ajinkya and Bhushan. So those are very close to friends to me. So we stayed in a nice place which had about eight nine people, most of people from different countries, and three Indians. And And I think that is where the exact journey of starting a new life started, you know. I mean, so yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot that I can talk about London, which is kind of endless, and at the AA as well.
All right, so you graduated in 2012 from the AA, and then you started working for a robotic firm, right? Robofold.
Yes, Robofold,
Yeah.
yes. So that was quite interesting as well. Again, I mean, the whole experience of AA was a lot of struggles as well, I would say. In terms of,
You had
I
like
didn't
late
face a
night
lot of.
jury, your work and all that.
Yeah, I mean, all those things were happening. I mean, it was really intense. And we, again, our undergrad studies in India do not, you know, teach us all of these aspects. Even though we are slogging, we are, you know, like doing a lot. But we are not, you know, taught to learn by ourselves. We are not taught to be left alone in a dark space to find the way, you know, like. So, but that's something that really happened at that time. And there were some personal struggles with health and all of that, which kind of was pulling me back. But yeah, towards the end, I found a fantastic person, Pradeep Devdas, who I ended up forming RatLab with
He's
later.
also from the AA, is
And
it?
yes, he's also from the AA. He was in MTech and he's actually from
Oh,
Bangalore.
okay.
And so we both met at the AA and I think both of us were equally lost. I think that's how we teamed up to do our you know, thesis, master's thesis together, because it's a teamwork. So we worked in a team, and we had this very analytical approach towards approaching, you know, architecture in general and what we can do. And I think I remember you know, like towards the you know, some really intense jury sessions and stuff were happening close to the master's session, and we were just out there in the backyard of the A and, you know, discussing about architecture and we should do something together. And I think that is exactly when we got this idea that, you know, we should start. And I'm bringing in RatLab here,
Right,
because which is what I'm doing
right.
now, because that is exactly where it started, at A itself.
So you came up with the name and
So
everything while you were in the AA.
yes, so we were doing a master's that time. We were doing a project, Adaptive Skins, which was a very you know, celebrated thesis at that time, because it took us to a lot of places after
Oh,
that
wow, okay.
internationally. So we were designing a facade system which automatically moves using the energy of the sun, doesn't require any electricity, and we use shape memory
Wow,
alloys.
fascinating.
Yeah, so it was. So this is, again, this is a conversation I'm not usually having with other architects, because people are not used to having these kind of conversations. So nickel and titanium mixed together makes nitinol alloy, which you can be heated up or electricity can be used to put it in motion. So we use that to make a tensegrity system, which allows a facade to move and adapt to different conditions. So I mean, all sounds very complicated, but and it is as well. But it was very interesting. And I think that time we thought, you know, we as architects are not using technology in general, or we are not even researching further. And that is exactly how we thought, okay, research and technology are our keywords, and we need to form a group of independent, you know, thinkers who can come together and form a group, an organization. We didn't thought that time that we'll have a studio, we'll have a, you know, a full kind of setup and
Right.
stuff. And that is when we thought of, and we were also inspired by DRL program, which is not what we studied, which is design research lab. So the whole idea of lab and the whole laboratory culture was very fascinating to us. And I can assure you at that time, nobody in India was talking about the whole
Lab,
laboratory
exactly,
culture.
yeah.
Yeah, and now it's kind of something which has been there in the industry. That is when I remember, like, you know, telling Pradeep, you know, like, let's take a coffee and, you know, like, take a break from work, and I want to talk about something. And so I hope, by the way, this is not getting boring
No,
to you,
it's
because
very, very
I mean,
interesting. Please go
yeah,
ahead.
I'm getting into the whole storytelling because it's very close to you know, us right now.
Yes.
So I pulled him you know, out of the campus at that time, the backyard of the A. And I told him, you know, that you know, we should do something. We should make a group of people, starting with two of us, and we should, you know, talk about research, talk about technology and how it can change design. And at that time, we also weren't sure that can it change design? Can technology really help design? Does it have anything to do with design right now? just because we're doing a goddamn thesis right now, which is using technology, does that mean that we should use that? I said, let's think over it. And then we had another a few sessions at that time, and we thought, okay, let's form a group. We'll make a, you know, we'll form this group. We'll form a company later on sometime. Let's just start with an organization and let's give it a name. Let's give it a name. We'll make a logo. You know, we'll design the graphics and let's go
full
out.
So the startup scene started in AA, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because, and we thought, okay, we thought of the names. Again, as I said, you know, we were inspired by, you know, the lab culture of various programs and stuff. And also because this question kind of is asked a lot of times, why RatLab? Why did you call it RatLab?
Okay, let me guess what, I guess RAT stands for Research, Architecture and Technology.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So that's exactly what RAT is. And it's on our website and it's on, you know, as a subtext as well, but not many people kind of read that in detail. But so RAT is Research and Architecture and Technology. And the whole idea of creating a laboratory culture was also that, okay, we'll be like lab rats, right. You know, like we'll experiment on ourselves, you know. So there are two, three things coming together. And another part was how it kind of fit perfectly that time. So we wanted the lab thing to be very prominent. So we put it into these square brackets as well, the name and title. And then we also, you know, at that time, Rhino and Grasshopper and all these kind of softwares which are used in computational design were actually, you know, at a peak that time of growth.
But and not in India, obviously, in the other parts.
Not in India, yes, absolutely. But in that sphere, I would say, where we were operating actually that time. So that time, so, you know, if you look at, so the Rhino works on this zoo system of naming every plugin on its animals or various animals and stuff. So it's called a zoo license they have. Then they have flamingo, grasshopper, kangaroo. Now we have ladybug, honeybee, and you know, so many plugins. All of these are animal names. So that's when we thought we also might come up with something. So let's put an animal's name. So I thought, okay, we are having the right keywords. We have this animal as well. We have the laboratory as well. And we are going to be the lab rat. So let's just go with rat.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool name, you know, Rat Lab. Usually people would think it's an animal or something. But then you say, tell them, no, it's research, architecture, technology. There's also multiple meanings to it.
Right. So that's how it all came together. So we started and we, you know, on the side, we started to develop it and take it forward, which happened for the next few years.
While you were working parallelly at the same time.
Yes, absolutely. So, but AA happened. We finished our thesis project. It went out pretty okay at that time. And then Pradeep ended up being at Robofold. So we had like 4 months to find a job that time. So it was a very difficult phase for all
especially
the students that time. Especially in London. That time, the visa issues had just changed.
Okay.
And had just renewed. So just, you know, 1 year before we actually went, the rules were that after you do a master's in UK, you are allowed to stay there for 1 year. I think it was called a post-study work visa or something like that. Which allowed somebody to be there for 1 year or 2 years. I'm not sure. I think 1 year it was. And in that 1 year, you can be there. You can find a job. If you get it, you continue. If you don't, you move out of the country. But you get like one good year, which most of the students found very comfortable. Even if you're not doing anything and you are like able to sustain yourself, you can just chill in London and, you know, like do whatever you want. But the rules at our time was that, okay, you get 4 months after your master's finishes. In that 4 months, a company needs to sponsor you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For you to get a visa. And by sponsoring was not just monetary sponsoring your visa. It is actually that they have to prove that why you are better than any European or UK citizen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the process of that is like really long. So in a way, it's an indirect way of saying that you can't have anyone from outside of Europe and UK. Obviously, after the Brexit, things have changed in a different way. But at that time, so this was the situation. And most of the students took that 4 months as a vacation time that, okay, we're done with the master. We've slogged a lot. Let's just chill for 4 months and move back to our countries and build it up from there or do whatever we want.
But you had other plans.
We kind of ended up with other plans without planning, actually, I would say. And also because Pradeep was really hardworking and really passionate to, you know, keep trying new things. So he ended up at Robofold. He got an internship there for 3 or 4 months. So he was kind of sorted that I'm going to happily do this and, you know, like, and then see what next. And then I remember Gregory Epps is the founder of Robofold. And he's making really cool robots and stuff now in different ways using artificial intelligence and all of that. But yeah, but that time, like, Gregory Epps was, like, really famous as well. And Robofold was a very known name and it still is as well. And so I wrote to Gregory that, you know, like, hey, my partner is also has probably joined you. And I spoke to Pradeep that, you know, like, can I also apply? You've got an internship. It would be really cool if both of us are there. You know, like, we'll do something, some crazy together. So he said, yeah, he gave me Gregory's contact and I contacted him. And he said, yeah, just you know, like, send your portfolio and stuff. And a few days later, he called me that, yeah, you're in. I mean, you can join.
So this was within the 4 months of your visa?
Yes. So this was like the first 2 weeks, I would say, right after our master's. I remember the day we finished our thesis, jury and everybody went out to have a beer, which we also did. But right before that, we had a conversation that what next? And I think that what next used to come usually from Pradeep, who used to question me that, okay, what next? And I was like, so he's like, hey, Da, what's next? What next? So you're from Bangalore.
Yeah,
you would understand
we use
that
a lot of Das here.
Yeah, so he's like, so that's how we still talk as well. Hey, Da, okay. Okay, nice. So, you know, Da, Macha, and all of that stuff. So he's
nowadays
like, you know, so, okay, Da. Yeah, okay. So he's like, okay, Da, what next? I said, let's have a beer. So he doesn't really drink. And so he's like, okay, you have a beer. I'll sit and we'll make a plan. So that's when we started to see what do we do next. Now, in parallel, what was also happening was I was also applying to a lot of companies to get a proper job. I mean, because with Greg, it was a 3 or 4 month thing because we had only limited time. So it was like an internship or a short-term internship.
This is when you applied to Zaha Hadid Architects. And
yes, I was applying to like pretty much all the best the places. Firms. All the best and the worst, all the firms, okay. I would say, because we had no option, to be honest. We had zero option. We had like given like 3.5-4 months to sort out our life and then decide to move out or not. And most of the people were already, you know, on a vacation mode that time. So I started to apply to a lot of places, started to talk to a lot of people. And I remember using social media to its full potential that time,
Facebook.
Using technology by contacting people, Facebook, even Twitter as well, you know, like, and contacting people, you know, is there a job in your firm? Contacting people who are working in those firms, asking them, is there a job? Can I please apply? Can you refer this, that? So, you know, all sorts of things that we have to do in the right ways. And I think, I remember I was going to an interview at one place carrying 3 portfolios. And because there are a lot of offices in central London, so wherever I was going, I always checked on the maps that which all offices lie on my way. Or even if it's slightly out of the way. So before the interview, I would just try to drop in my portfolio to another firm.
Oh, okay, nice.
While going back, I would give my portfolio to another
firm. So you're giving
firm.
A lot of tips to the guys who may go to London in the future and, you know, try jobs.
Yeah, yeah, it works anywhere, Manish, anywhere in the world. And that is something that I really, you know, like tell a lot of my students as well, that you really need to push hard because otherwise, you're not going to get it. Because a lot of times people think that, you know, like you one maybe may get lucky or something, or you're fortunate to get this and that. But there's a lot of things that go behind the scenes to, you know, to make things happen.
Yes.
So, and that is how all the dots connect. And I think at that time, so by the connecting dots is also from the Steve Jobs speech, which again, Pradeep used to bombard those things to me. You know, keep listening to inspirational speeches and stuff. I remember like dropping in my portfolios to various places, this, that. And I remember emailing Patrick directly.
Okay,
once.
Patrick Schumacher from...
Patrick Schumacher, right. Who was the partner at Zaha Hadid Architects and he's now the principal there. And now it's very... I was about to tell a story about the email and how I got to the email, but I don't think I should be speaking more about that. But yeah, it was very funny that I directly emailed Patrick and he responded. That okay, come for an interview or something like
oh,
that.
Nice.
And I was like, This was like a, you know, like a fanboy moment for
Okay.
me. That okay, Patrick Schumacher replying to my email. I used to see him often at the AA because he was teaching DRL. He was guiding those students. But we being in M.Tech never had an interaction with DRL tutors or students much as well. So because and that's a perception in India actually, and that's something that I want to really clear up with the other myths that we have that you go to AA then you get a job at Zaha, but this is not the case. Especially with me, I was in M.Tech program. I was not in DRL as well. So that time, I remember emailing Patrick, attaching my portfolio. I had already sent my portfolio 3 or 4 times. A few good friends who were working at Foster's actually gave me some very interesting tips. I gave an interview at Foster's as well. So I gave an interview at Foster's, at SOM, PLP Architects, and you know, like 20 other big firms. I can Hedewig's
Oh, you
office
gave
as well,
so many
Thomas
interviews.
Hedewig. Yes, I went to Hedewig's office. So I was really enjoying that moment with giving interviews, going there. The only, you know, hope that I had was that since I'm being called for so many interviews, that there must be something, some hope that I had. You know, there might be something good in my portfolio or something, or in the emails that I may get a chance.
Yeah.
And this is alongside while I was working at Robofold as well. So there
So
was a
you're
lot of
juggling a lot of
multitasking.
things at the same time, like.
Yes, absolutely. At the same time, wrapping up your life in
Oh
London
yeah.
for 16 months, which you've had, and planning to move back to India as well. So that is also happening along the side. And I remember, I think we had a, I think I had, probably we had booked the tickets back to India
Oh
as well,
yeah.
about 30. Yeah, so 30th of May was the last day my visa was expiring or something. My tickets were booked for 27th or 28th. And on 12th or 11th of May, I got an email from Patrick. And I responded to that email that, you know, like, okay, I'll come for an interview, but when and where, you know, like, I mean, where, of course, I knew, but I didn't know what time and this and
Right.
that. I didn't even know if I can write back to Patrick that, you know, that, hey, when can I come? Because they get like thousands of
Exactly.
applications and stuff. So I tried to, you know, like figure out from a lot of my friends that can you email me? Can you give me the email ID of Patrick's, you know, PA that time who was taking care of recruitments and all of that? And so I think Patrick replied, copying the person that contact this person or whatever. And I emailed that person that Patrick has asked me to come. This that fix the time, 15th of May, 2013. And I went for the interview,
Okay.
and the interview was with Patrick
Wow,
himself.
great.
And he looked up into the portfolio and everything. And so he's someone who takes decisions kind of instantly. There's a yes or a
You must
no.
have been super nervous, right?
I was, and I mean, I'm bound to be
Yeah.
actually. So, and then he looked into the portfolio and he said, okay, so you did M.Tech, this, that, whatever. So I was not a DRL student, so I was not one of his students. And I don't think there were many people from M.Tech who had actually ended up at Zaha's office, because most of the DRL people go to Zaha's office because they have the right skill sets to do what they are doing. I barely had those skill sets. But I was kind of touching upon that, I would say. And Patrick said, okay, so we will start from whatever.
Wow, that must have been a great moment for you,
Yeah. Oh, I was shocked. I just looked at him and stared. I
right?
said, okay. I mean, I was about to ask him, are you sure?
Okay.
But I'm glad I did not. And then he just smiled at me and I just told him, thank you very much. And he said, pleasure. I can't forget that moment, of course. And then he just, someone from the HR department came and told me that. Now there was another issue that, okay, we have 15
For a
days
visa.
to apply for a
Yeah.
visa and procure a visa. Now what do we do? So that is another problem. The visa interviews were not available for the next 1.5 months.
Oh, great.
And I said, can I go to India and apply from there? I said, Logan, that's not going to work. I have to be in London, but I can't be illegally living in London and applying for a visa, which is not possible. So what do we
Yeah.
do? So I figured out that time while sitting there itself with the HR that, okay, there's an appointment available in Liverpool. not in London, not in any other centers, but in Liverpool center.
So they have the base in Liverpool as well.
So it's like a, you know, how we have VFS centers in every city, you know, they apply for a visa. So there was one in Liverpool. I said, I'll book my tickets. I'll go to Liverpool. I'll apply there, you know, and I'll wait there for the results to come and all of that. And I blocked it and stuff. I booked the interview and went ahead with things and stuff. And while I was walking out, oh, this is an interesting part as well. When I was walking out of the Zaha's office, I just got an email. I took my phone out to, you know, call my family back in India that, you know, I managed to get a job at Zaha's office. Yeah. And I thought they'll be really happy and stuff, which they were later. But I took my phone out and saw an email from Los Angeles regarding our residency application, which we had submitted. So there were about 400 applications. It was like a competition kind of a thing that we, it was a fellowship, resident fellowship kind of a thing for 6 months. So this residential, I mean, this museum is in, Max Center is in Vienna, but the residency happens in Los Angeles. So I got an email from them that your application is shortlisted and you can come here for 6 months and this and that and set up whatever you want
to
do and stuff.
So now you have to make another big decision.
So I was like, what the hell? I mean, what is happening right now? You know, like there's so many things happening at that time. And I just called my family. I said, I got a job at Zaha. This is exactly what I said. I got a job at Zaha, but visa may not happen. But even if it doesn't happen, I can go to LA. And like, what are you saying? I said, I had also applied for something else in LA and that is also there. So I'm not coming back. It's like that. So they were really happy and excited and stuff. And then I told them the exact story. I have to go to Liverpool and all of that. And everything worked out after that.
And you got the job in Zaha Hadid. How was it?
Yes.
You worked for a year in Zaha Hadid, right? How was the work culture? And did you meet Zaha Hadid in person?
So I think the work culture was quite interesting in terms of, you know, what it taught me in that limited time that I had there. So I was there for a little more than a year that time. Now the Mac thing, the one interesting thing about the, you know, Mac Schindler LA thing, which I mentioned about, that I had an option to choose for immediate slot or the next year slot. So at that time I had decided in my mind, okay, that I will not be going for this one. Right now if I get a visa, I'm going to work at LHA. And next year I can go for that one. That is what I thought at that time. But I thought, let's see how things work out. So at Zaha, I think I was, it was super interesting. It was overwhelming in the beginning. And then I realized that people who are working with me, they have similar skill sets that I have. There is a lot that I need to learn. There is a lot that I know more than
you could share your expertise as well.
So we could share. Yeah. And that was a culture in the studio. So there were a lot of studios there. There are studio heads. There are associates who are handling teams and stuff like that. And I think we happened to have a lot of discussions with Patrick. A lot of decisions were taken by Patrick that time. I would not say, okay, Zaha did not have too many engagements with a lot of people, at least the entry-level people that time. So, you know, the conversations with the, mostly the senior associates. But I happened to be in project discussions a number of times. There were some office parties as well where, you know, everybody was there. Zaha was there. But Zaha was a celebrity in her own office as well.
Right. Okay.
So you would really get to, you know, converse with her. Unless you were really lucky to be working on a particular project. It's the same thing, being at the right place at the right time. So I did happen to have some kind of conversations, but not, I would not say really architectural conversations or engagements of that kind.
Great.
But I had those with Patrick quite a lot. So Patrick was, you know, kind of the in charge of most of the projects I was working on. And
he was a mentor in a way as well.
Yeah, I mean, he knew what's happening in the office and he's like a superhero. You know, that's how I used to see him and I still see him like that. Because he's handling so many things and he knows about everything and in detail. So that's the kind of how person Patrick is, actually.
So all of them were working on the same softwares like Rhino, Grasshopper, Revit.
So Rhino was very common. Revit was also used in some of the projects. And then mostly we were working on Maya
Oh, wow.
and various other tools of similar kinds. So that was my introduction to Maya. And I was like, okay, Maya, I heard of, there are animation softwares and all of that stuff. But then I realized, okay, people are using that in architecture as well, especially with the kind of design language that they have. But what I started to do at that time, so I had a very interesting role that time in the studio because I was developing, and that was out of personal interest. I started to develop computational tools which can be used by various
Oh,
teams.
wow, okay.
So I happened to be jumping on from one project to the other, time and again,
So you had your
so
hands
that
in a
I
lot
can.
of projects.
Yes, exactly. So I think that was something which I really, really enjoyed doing because I started to. Okay, Grasshopper wasn't. I won't say it wasn't much used, but it wasn't very much preferred at that time at Zaha's office. But I started to kind of encourage people to use Grasshopper. I developed my own tool as well, which I floated around in the entire company. So we had a very interesting, you can email anyone in Zaha's office. There were 300 people. You had a messenger system where you can communicate and stuff. So I made a tool. I developed the tool. I spoke to my associate. I'm really interested in developing this, and I want to test it out. So I spoke to their software in charge that I'm developing in my own tool on Grasshopper, and it can do this.
So you
And
scripted this tool, is it?
I scripted the
Oh,
entire tool,
nice.
which could do a lot of analysis and can be used on any projects at ZHA. And I decided to send that to various teams in the office to test it out on their ongoing projects. So that is how I started to know about various projects as well. And then I was floated from one team to the other as a computational designer. So I ended up working on, a variety of projects at of various
Okay,
scales.
great.
Yet I would say I was devising my own tools and all of that. And at the same time, so this is what I was doing in the daytime and till night. So once I used to go back
It
home,
was Rat Lab.
that is when. So RatLabs used to start at that time.
Right.
So I think for almost 1.5 years, I don't think I slept for more than 4 or 5 hours on a night. It was pretty
Oh,
much like
wow.
that. And Pradeep at that time was in China. So he got a job at Shanghai, which was specialized in robotics. So he started to further pursue what he was doing at RoboFold in Shanghai. And then he was teaching there as well. So, we used to communicate at night because of time zones as well. So I was very happy working at ZHA during the daytime and often till the nights as well. And then later on, I could discuss with Pradeep what we are doing at RatLab because we were really, trying to do something on a small scale. But
And you were
I
able to
think the
sustain yourself for a year with Zahadid's pay and all that.
Absolutely. So they paid me pretty decent, I think, that time. So for the standards that were set at that
Right,
time.
right.
So I think I was pretty fine in terms of how the finances were sorted and stuff. But at the same time, I'd have to add that, London is a very difficult place to be in terms of handling
The
your
expense is
expenses
very high,
because
right?
it's quite high. And then I didn't want to stay too much out of the city. So I was staying in central London as well. So that I can have a direct access to the office, so I could. It just used to take me 25 minutes or something by bus. I had to change two buses, but be in the office in 25 minutes. So that was a luxury, I would say. But for that, I had to kind of pay some extra money, and thanks to my dad for supporting me that time. A bit whenever
So
required.
you're working on the RatLab firm in the background, and then,
Yes, so it was kind of developing that
right.
time, I would say. It was evolving. It was we were and then so interesting part was we were meeting a lot of people. We were meeting a lot of people to tell them about RatLab as well.
So you're networking.
Yeah, so we were networking a lot. I was going to a lot of conferences, and I think before I joined Zaha, I went to this conference called Smart Geometry. That changed a lot of things for me. So at Smart Geometry conference, it happened at the Bartlett in UCL in London. There I met, I was a part of a workshop where we kind of developed our own tools. And at that time, I was also the editor for Arc2O.com,
Arc20, right?
for which, yes. So there I was writing various
Oh,
articles
nice. So you were
on these
writing, you
things.
had like different skill sets building up, right?
Yes, so Arc2O was based in Egypt. So the main founder, Ibrahim, was in Egypt, and that's who I was communicating with directly. And I told him, you know, we should have a separate section on the magazine or on the online blog that talks about design technologies and stuff. So they opened a new section called In Depth for me, where I could set a team of people who can write with me. So I was writing at that time. I was researching for RatLab.
This was during Zaha, while you were working in Zaha as well.
Yeah, at that time and before, in those 4 months
okay,
as well.
Great.
So there are so many stories which are kind of overlapping. But I think that is the whole intensity of things that are happening, that happened and that are happening now as well.
Alright guys, so that is the end of the first part of this two-part series of talking parametricism and the future of architecture with Sushant. On the next episode, you will get to listen to another fascinating story where transitioned from quitting Zaha Hadid Architects to starting RatLab Studio. It's going to be a treat for all of y'all. And we also dwell into topics like architectural education in India and other such aspects surrounding architecture. If you guys like this episode, please do subscribe to our podcast on whichever platform you guys listen to, be it iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Castbox. Also guys, you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter by going to archeon.com/subscribe. And if you'd like to support us, you could go to archeon.com/donate. It would really help us to bring out really good content for architects in India and uplift the architectural society in India. Thanks guys for tuning into this episode. Until next time, this is your host Manish, aka Kobe.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.